Good morning. And this morning you join us on Great Hill, which is in Lancashire. It's not a great hill, it's 381 metres high and the second point in the district, second highest point in the district, on Anglesart Moor, next to Winter Hill. I'm actually looking back at Winter Hill now and I can see a paraglider going over the top of it. Never seen that before. We're about a quarter of a mile from the car. We've already climbed up a steep, muddy track through a gate that said footpath only, no cyclists, and then the path was completely chewed up by cyclists. So there you go. Typical. And let me just try. It's a bleak spot. It's a beautiful spot though. I mean, we've climbed up now. And the path is so muddy that a couple of years ago, delayed a load of huge Yorkshire stone flags, all rough, across most of it, across most of the boggy areas, and that's what I'm walking on at the moment. It's quite pleasant to walk on. I said before that it's not something I like, but I'm actually getting used to it now. Paths. At this time of year, it's better because otherwise you just get absolutely crapped up. I'm on my own, there's nobody here. I'm looking back at Winter Hill. Now, it's about half a mile away, with a huge television mast on top of it. And the view, even now where we've only just started the walk, is pretty damn spectacular. I'm looking over the Lancashire Plain, I can see North Wales. I see the coast, Blackpool. We've not made any great height yet. And then you look round, I can see Chorley in the distance, and then the moorland rolls and rolls away. And a lot of it is open access land, so you can just roam about on it as you wish. Although it's so rough that it's very difficult to make your way across it anyway. Conifer woodlands below me, nice square symmetrical conifer woodlands that look as though they shouldn't really be there. And then on the horizon I can see a cairn in the distance, and then there's a pimple on the horizon, and that is called Round Loaf, and it's a burial mound, it's a barrow. The wind is really, really gusting. Down in the town it's not so bad. There's hardly any wind, but as soon as you climb anything like that onto the moors, it's whistling. So I've got a wind muff over, a new one, that looks like a guard's busby. Hope it just doesn't knock the top end off the recording too much. The sky is pretty blue. There's a lot of clouds, but there's a lot of blue as well. It's perishingly cold. Looking back, the sun, the Yorkstone flags are wet and the sun is glistening off them, and all around them the land just rolls away and it's just brown, like a light brown grass and bit of gorse every now and again. And then as you drop down into a valley to my left, there's a few conifers dotted about. I can see a kissing gate about 300 yards in front of us. When I come out on these walks, I like to know a little bit about the history of the place, and then I can make a bit more interesting than just wandering along and saying I'm wandering along. Now, Great Hill, there's not a lot to say about it really. I can describe it. It's a beautiful spot. It's a lonely, remote spot. Featureless, just rolling around. But the thing is, the views are pretty spectacular. 360 degrees. Apart from the wind whistling, and I'm actually walking into the wind, so that might affect the recording. Perhaps I should walk backwards. There's not a sound, apart from an aeroplane, pretty high up. I can see it now. Prop job, high up, being a nuisance. There's not a sound. just take Molly off a lead, because there were some sheep as we came in. Doesn't bother her anyway. We're coming to the end of the flags now, and it's just an absolute quagmire where the cyclists have chewed up the path. We're coming to another gate saying no cyclists. Well, they're actually a kissing gate, so you'd actually pick up your bike and put it over the fence and get over, walk past the sign saying no cyclists. So these people are either thick, ignorant, arrogant, illiterate, or a little bit of each. That's my little rant over for the morning. You can get up here several different ways. You can come from a place called Hawden Stoops, which is on Belmont Road, linking the village of Belmont with the village of Rivington. You can get up to it via White Coppice, the village of White Coppice, going past Drinkwater, the ruins of Drinkwater Farm, which is a fascinating little place. It's these ruins of a farm, but in little, beautiful little copse. Dead attractive, dead nice little spot. Or you can come over via Darwin Tower, or Jubilee Tower, which we'll come across further on in the walk. Just coming to this kissing gate shortly. I'm actually not walking on the path, and I shouldn't do this really, because paths are for walking on. If you walk at the side of the path, you erode that, and that's what makes the path wider and wider and wider and more eroded. But I can't walk on the path because the bloody cyclists have completely chewed it up, and it's just about ankle deep mud. No cyclists, no bikes, path only. Maybe there was a thing saying cyclists only, and I walked, it was walking about on it. Bet they'd have something to say about it. Come on, Molly. He's through the kissing gate now. The path goes to the right and then drops. This is where it is. You climb up to Great Hill, and there's a nice little shelter on top of it. It used to be just a cairn, but now it's like a cross-shaped shelter, so you can always find a spot out of the wind. And we're dropping now into the shade and into a valley. The wind's picking up. There's a dry stone wall completely tumbled down to my right, and this just, you can see the remains of it weaving and wending its way into the distance over the top of the rolling moorland. There's no birds. Skylarks, you usually get skylarks here, and that's about it. The odd partridge squawking its head off as you disturb it. Some boggy here. We're going through an area of that coarse, I don't even know what it's called, that very, very coarse grass you get in boglands. Spiky. Grows to about half a metre high. Looking to my right now, and I can just, there's a gap, and I can see, and it just goes on and on and on, rolling moorland with the odd building on it, and conifer plantations going right into distance, right over the Pennines. It's quite warm now. We've dropped out of the sun. It's quite warm out of the wind. Apart from the bloody animals, which are freezing cold, holding this thing. Climbing back up again. No. Molly's running about in the mud. Just stop now. And I'm looking back. Southwest. Southwest, yeah. And it's great because there's a low-lying mist. You can see the countryside. It accentuates the rolling countryside because you can see the countryside rolling up and down. So all you can see is mist and then the tops of trees or the top of a building. And then there'll be another one. Roll falls. And it's like falls and falls going into the distance, miles and miles away. And then this mist I don't know how to describe it. It's like a bluey grey mist, and that ends in a straight line just above the horizon. So all the land is covered in this cloud, and then you can see the blue of the sky above it. It's quite dramatic, that. The clouds are going over the sun at the moment, and the temperature drops remarkably. And to my right now, still see. I can look down. I'm looking down on the village of Belmont now, in the distance, and I can see Belmont Reservoir, and it's just like glistening, like just a piece of silver dropped into the landscape. It's beautiful. There's nothing in front of us really, because you're climbing up, you've got this moorland that just goes up and up and up to the horizon, and all you can see is this path in front of us. And like I say, you go over to the left, which is the west, and that's where all the conurbations of the northwest are, hidden under this blanket of mist that seems to be getting denser and denser. Lots of jets in the sky, I can see contrails going everywhere. Just creeping up into my view, into my eyeline now, I can see the tops of a wind farm, probably about 5 or 6 miles to my right. And you can see the arms, the blades, slowly rotating anti-clockwise from my direction. Come on, Moll. I can see Turton Tower, miles and miles away to my right, to the east. Just a dot, like a black pole sticking out of the top of a hill, just this side of the Pennines. It's so quiet. There's a dry stone wall to my right, following the path, or rather the path follows the dry stone wall, and it's all tumble and neglected. There are no sheep this far up. Very muddy, everywhere's muddy. Can't wait for spring, can't wait for some dry weather, just to dry this mud up a little bit. Make it a bit more enjoyable to get out and wander about. Funny, isn't it, that I'm looking over to the west again, towards the folds of the land I was talking about, and the trees and that, and there's always bloody smoke coming up, isn't there? I can see 1, 2, 3 columns of smoke coming out of the mist, and you've not a clue where they're coming from. They're just appearing out of the mist and then lazily going south. The wind must be coming from the north, and the wind's lazily blowing south until it just dissipates. So quiet. We've already been out for about an hour this morning on the towpath. And I said to Morris, oh, come on, we'll even go back on the boat. I'll just go on and grab a towel for the back of the car and grab my mic, and then we'll go up Great Hill. And that was like, it was quite pleasant and warm, and because it was down low and sheltered. I tell you what, it's not up here. It's blowing, and that wind's cold. I bet it doesn't get much above freezing up here today. But it's still nice, isn't it? It's nice to get out. I mean, I don't give a toss where I am. It's just nice to be out, and it's just nice to just be in the countryside and the quiet. You know, it might not be dramatic scenery, but it's just beautiful, quiet and still. Later on in the year, this place will be teeming with birds. heathland birds singing in the skylights, singing, and the pheasants and partridge yak-yakking as they run out of your way. Blackbirds come up this eye occasionally because there is woodland about. So we're going across in one of these storm sections again. They're quite intermittent. You know, you have like 20 foot of storm and back into the mud, and then we come into another stretch of storm. There's a place up here, I'll point it out when we get to it, and it's beautiful. It's like a where the storm goes across. It goes into a little valley, only about a little cutting, about 8 foot deep, and across a stream, and it's like beautiful. You know, somebody couldn't paint a scenario as nice. It's perfect. I see a plane banking over in the distance coming into Manchester Airport. Ooh, you've all got your woolly hats. Don't jump off in your Benidorm gear. This will be a culture shock. We're about half an hour, 40 minutes into the walk now, and I've just crested a rise on which is otherwise featureless landscape, and then the countryside's opened out in front of me. I look to my right and I can see probably, probably 3-4 miles away, I think, something like that, Darwin Tower, or better known as Jubilee Tower, which is an octagonal, splendidly Victorian tower, quite tall, that was built to commemorate Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee, and it also commemorates the opening up of the moors to the public, actually well before the Great Trespass in the Peak District, which was mid last century. See the wind farm now over to my right, and then I can see Darwin Tower, what would probably be Pendle Hill beyond it, right in the distance, just a murky silhouette, and then the land falls down, the sun is shining on what must be Blackburn, and Blackburn's hidden from view at the moment. I think we can see it at some point. And then a column of smoke rising, and behind this smoke, going into the distance, we can see the rolling hills of the Trough of Borland. That's a nice area. Some quiet, as you go, like, well, from east to west, the hills get higher and higher, and as you go towards the Lake District. And then in front of me, the path weaves and wends its way over the moors. I can see a couple of people. I can actually now see in the distance, a couple of miles away, I can see the summit shelter of Great Hill, and I can actually make out people walking away from it. You can see it because it's like a low stone structure, but there's a post sticking out of it, and that's the thing that you can see. That otherwise it's just like a blot on the landscape in the distance, but then you see this post and you recognise it as the summit shelter. And then I look east again and I can see the tops of some trees, which will be around Drinkwater Farm going down towards White Coppice. I've done the whole route. It's about 15 kilometres ago, walking from where I, Horden Stoops, where I started, to Great Hill, down to White Coppice, and round across the moors and back. It's a hell of a horrible walk in places. I once came across two ladies from the Ramblers Association who were reccying it for a walk. They were following what should have been a right of way shown on the Ordnance Survey map. But there's no map, there's no walk there. I knew that. And it's just these almost impassable moorlands that are just thick in grass and just ditches and gullies, and you just stumble through it. And I ended up going across and guiding them back to the footpath. They probably decided not to do this walk and went to Blackpool for the day. And then as you go on, Round Loaf is there. Round Loaf, the burial mound, is probably only about a mile and a quarter to my left now. That's something else. I look round, the sun is now coming up. The sun, it won't reach much higher. It's about midday now, so I don't think it'll get much higher before it starts falling back down again. So this is about as good as it gets. But the sun is bathing the land, and it's light and dark brown now, where there's heather all over. There's heather and grass and channels cut through by the water. And just one track. It's not good enough to get, it's not stable enough to get a track for farm vehicles or any other vehicles across it. So it's just pristine landscape. Going down now some really slippy rock into another little depression. Not deep, it's just rolling. It's rolling English countryside. Brown at the moment. Green in summer. I can see the Jubilee Tower now over to my right, miles over to the right, and it's bathed in sunlight, a light brown sandstone. Trouble is, on these walks, when you're actually heading for a point and it's pretty open country, so you see that destination and it's still miles away, it's a bit like, oh God, your heart sinks a little bit. I'd rather be somewhere where you're up in the lakes and places like that, where you can just turn around a corner and there'll be a cairn that you've been heading for 100 yards in front of you, and you think, wow, cool. With a go on, Moll, have a run round. She's not doing a great deal. She's just trotting along. Not a lot for her. It's not like woodlands for her to dive into or anything like that. It's just the path. And then thick grass at either side. And she's not a great lover of diving through the thick grass. So she's just on my heels all the time. Oh, walking into the sunlight now. And the path we're on now actually runs along the top of what was a dry stone wall. The dry stone wall's been knocked down, but they've taken advantage of it and actually diverted the path onto it. So the path, about 18 inches, 2 foot wide, runs along the dry stone wall, which is now just reduced to about a foot above the surrounding countryside. Oh, we're coming to the end, we're coming to a muddy spot. Never mind. All good. Molly has suddenly taken it upon herself to start charging round like a lunatic. I'm glad, really, because the sun's out now and it's turned into quite a pleasant day. More people than I mean, I've passed a couple of people walking. So, in half an hour, can't really grumble too much about that. But she seems to have, seems to be enjoying it now. Now the sun's come out and we're back in completely featureless moorland again. You know, I can see the top of the post now. It's only about a mile away of the summit shelter of Great Hill. And there's this little spot, this little dell glade thing we're coming up to now, and it's so cool. Oh, it's just like there's heather, a really thick heather, and it's peat, so it's falling down, then the peat's all broken away, so there's heather and then the wall of peat, and then the path drops down now and goes across a stream. It's not just a stream, it's just a boggy area, I think, a channel. that's cut through with this thick marsh grass at either side. Whoops, a bit slippy underfoot. And that's it, and then you climb out again. I'm back at it now, and it's just like, it's just pretty. It's just, I don't know. There's nothing particularly good about it. It's just one of those little things. I think what it is that if you're walking across featureless countryside, anything of interest grabs your imagination, doesn't it? It's very wet and icy. I mean, the ice is just thick. You have to be really careful because the water covers the path. It's this stone path wending its way through the heather and grass. And then the water comes across it. And I mean, the bloody thing's slippy enough as it is. Well, then you hit that and I mean, go down on your back out here. There's no bugger will find you for hours. I can see my shadow in front of me. The sun's behind me. And obviously at this time of year, it doesn't get very high in the sky. And I can see it behind me. And all I can see is this little thing, the shadow of this thing behind me trotting along with its tail in the air. This is bleak, but like I've said before, there's beauty in everything, isn't there? I mean, there's a lot of beauty in the rolling fells of the Lakeland and the mountains of Scotland, and that's like obvious beauty. It's in your face, it's like breathtaking. And then there's the beauty of the woodlands, because the light and the sounds and the archetypal Britishness of the countryside. And then you come out to a place like this. Oh, I'm getting a real boggy area. Place like this, where there's nothing but that nothing. It's the bleakness. There's a beauty in bleakness. It's like Dartmoor and places like that. People love it just because of its bleak loneliness. Unfriendly. Hostile. It's hostile. Coming to a little bridge now. And the stream goes a little... Oh, not a stream. There's no streams. It's just... God, it's slippery. It's just... watercourses that are actually frozen, just drainage, and there's two great slabs of stone, and then there's another one here, three great slabs of stone, probably each of them 6 foot long and 3 foot wide, going over it. And we're over it, and I can see a couple of people walking up. Oh, shine a light. I nearly went down then. This is really, really treacherous. I can see people walking up to the summit shelter. I hope they're not there when we get there. I mean, I always walk up to it thinking, oh, right, it's a windy day, it's snowing, it's horrible. We'll sit here out of the wind because of the shape of it, you can always find something. You go on the corner, there'll be a bunch of old people there with and tartan thermos flasks and egg and cress sandwiches wrapped in greaseproof paper. Sitting there, so I have to go and sit in the bloody rain. It's not fair. It always happens to me. We've just come over a stile, and we're now on the last pull. There's a pull up, now quite steep, and we're about, I'd say, a quarter of a mile from the summit now. Past a bloke with three Springer Spaniels all hurrying about like lunatics. So I'm looking round me now. I can see this bloke is going off the track with his dogs. There's another track that leads down, I think, there, yeah. I can see Winter Hill in the distance behind me. One person coming along the path behind me, about a quarter of a mile away. Darwin Tower to me right. And then there's a lot, you can tell it's winter because there's still a lot of mist, you can't see a lot, everything just I can see Windtail. I can even see Rivington Pike. I can see Rivington Pike. And it's just about make it out in the mist behind me. But no, it's just like this steep stone path climbing up the gently to the summit shelter. Where I'll see you. Well, we're at the summit shelter now. That's a beautiful view. The sun's just gone behind some clouds, but it's just creeping out of the edge of it, and that means all the mist has been lit up by the sun and Rivington Pike, and I can even see the pigeon tower in the distance, so sticking out of the top of the mist. Black silhouette. Blackburn's lit up by the sun as well. Beautiful. I'm just looking south now. It's a fabulous view. The moorland rolling away. It folds and then mist and then another hill sticking out of it. And Rivington Pike sticking out of the top of that like some kind of sentinel. Beautiful. It's been a lovely day and I've really enjoyed this. Don't know whether it'll make a podcast, don't know whether it's interesting enough, but me and Moll have enjoyed it. We've got about an hour and a quarter now back to the car. And we might have some lunch then. What do you think, Molly? See you all next time.
One malt. Where you bring your feet?